Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I've been alcohol-free for 1 year, 1 month, and 6 days.
Hey, I am Kaylee, and I have been sober for 483 days.
Damn.
Still trying to get to that 500. So close.
I'm trying to think of, like, what my next step is. Let me look at how many, like, days it is. Let's see if we're on, like, a really good feel-good number or something. Let's check it out. I am at... Oh, my God! I'm at 400 days.
Oh, well, that's a milestone right there.
Yeah, 400. Fuck yeah. Anyways, Kaylee, how are you? It's Saturday. We're recording in a little different schedule. And yeah, let's get into it. Let's hear it.
It's good. Honestly, this past week at work has been really chill. Just onboarding, reading a bunch of documents. And I've been watching a lot of TV. I'm trying to get caught up on Succession because I'm way too late to the game. So I'm on season two. And... the girl, my esthetician, the girl who waxes and tints my brows, is like my soul sister when it comes to television. So we talk all about Drag Race, and I was supposed to finish Succession last time. So now I get my brows done like every 6 weeks. So I have 6 weeks to finish Succession so we can talk about it when she rips hair off my face next time.
Talk to me about it too, because I love it. I'm here for it.
Okay, I will. Yeah, so I don't know. We have a fridge full of groceries. Things have been chill. Things have felt easy, felt slow. Like I haven't felt rushed, and that's been really nice. So I'm doing good.
Yeah, that's a huge change.
Yeah, I'm also drinking some delicious tea. So, how are you doing, Katie?
I'm good. I'm tired.
You stayed up too late. You didn't get enough sleep.
Yeah, I've also... Oh, sorry. My cat's butt is in the microphone right now. Hi, Pippi Whippy. Go away.
Peepaw, get out of here.
Peepaw McGraw. He actually just vomited on the kitchen table, so he's in trouble. Ugh. He's not in trouble. Anyone listening, we are literally recording together right now. His whiskers are on the mic. Can you see him?
So cute.
So I'm tired. I didn't prioritize sleep last night, and I had a 7 a.m. workout, as well as like a coffee date with a new sober friend after. So I went to bed at 1:30 and I woke up at 6:15 this morning.
That's, yeah, definitely not enough sleep. And you get really fucked up when you don't get your 8 hours.
I do. And I feel hungover. And I also had anxiety from it today. Like, I just kind of felt shame. And I was like, but I really wanted to watch those episodes of Cheer. It was important to me.
Season two of Cheer is fucked up. I've been crying so much watching that season. And it's been good. It's been like therapeutic, but it's been a moment. Yeah.
It's just so, would be so bizarre to have your life televised like that. Just so, which is kind of on topic for this week. Like, I've just been kind of going through it a little bit just with all of my social media usage. I'm just having a hard time with it, which is so funny, Kaylee, because you know me. I'm like the girl that's like, it's not social media that's toxic. It's your relationship with it. But I'm like, oh, get me off. My eyes hurt from staring at these screens for so long, you know?
I feel that.
After this episode, we will have recorded for 5 hours this week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. So we, it's just, I just kind of feel like I've been on my phone too much too. So I don't know. I'm just going through it. I'm tired. I'm going to get at least 10 hours of sleep tonight and be back on my bullshit tomorrow.
Yeah. So what are you going on tomorrow? Do you have a chill day or are you going to have to run around?
So I am waking up around 10 and
Katie's pausing to yawn right now.
I'm going to wake up as late as I can. And then I think we're going to go to lunch with my dad. And then I'm supposed to get coffee with someone at 1:30 because they want to pick my brain about recording and their podcast that they're going to be starting here in the next 6 months. And then I also have a date with Michelle for just a girls' night. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to cancel at least one thing tomorrow. yeah. No, but yeah, so it's just a good weekend. I'm hosting 1000 Hours Dry, and we talked a lot about big alcohol today. The World Heart Federation just shared that they came out and made like a public statement that no amount of alcohol is good for you and your heart.
Yeah.
And so that news kind of just that seeing that happen and, you know, be in mainstream media and news this last week was a huge win for the Sober Curious community. So it's been kind of buzzing, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome to finally start hearing about some of those things before it's not too late. I don't want to be.
But before it's fucking over. It's too late.
Yeah, before your heart dies.
Just like to have some acknowledgement that there's like no healthy amount of alcohol that you should be drinking.
Yeah. And what was the statistic? We talked about big alcohol in our last episode, but that like the average American drinks way over what the like, what is it? 2 drinks for women and 3 drinks for men or something like that.
It's 7 drinks for men and 3 drinks for women a week.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is also a lot and actually is not okay for you. It's a lie.
Yeah, it's so weird to be like, oh, you can have 3 drinks. And I don't know, like my wine pours were like, okay, so you're saying I can have 1 glass of wine. I'm going to pour it in a fucking big gulp.
Bro, I just learned something new today.
What?
Did you know that there are 5 glasses of wine in a wine bottle? I thought there were 4.
3 for me, dude. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, cool. I'm glad I don't have to like worry about monitoring that or making some sort of weird excuse. Like, I only had 3 glasses of wine, but they were goblets.
Yeah, it was from my fucking your tea mug that you're drinking out of right now that I can see that's large and cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, so Keely, what are we talking about this week? Where are we at? What are we feeling like?
So Dry January, by the time this episode comes out, is going to be over. So we have kind of gone through the first month of 2022. This is episode 15.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And I think we are definitely starting to finally get together some content planning for 2022. We thought it would be a really good time just to reintroduce ourselves. We've seen our listeners and, you know, the amount of followers that we have now go up, which is super exciting, and just thought it'd be a good time to kind of start the new year, end with Dry January, and do a little recap and talk about ourselves, reintroduce ourselves, if you will.
You don't have to tell me twice to talk about myself. I'm here for it.
Yeah, our favorite topic.
So we're really excited to make the transition into February, and just excited about the transition into planning some new content and having guests on our podcast.
Yes, it is definitely something that we knew when we started the podcast that we would like to incorporate eventually, but we wanted to get some rhythm down and get some podcasts under our belt just to figure out more logistics. Katie and I have never done this before, so the editing of the podcast, the promoting of the podcast, the choosing the subject matter, the outlines, that's all been stuff that we're figuring out. So
it's so crazy, Keely. We've come so far. Like, even listening, first of all, almost everyone that I talk to is like, your first episode quality was so good. And I'm like, that's crazy, because now I feel like they're so much better. Like, you've done so much work in editing, and just even like our partners being supportive of the gear that we need and just kind of walking us through how to set it up, because Danny and Steve both have some experience just with electronics in general, you know?
Yeah, we definitely have help. I'm slowly learning how to set everything up myself, how to edit everything myself, watch a lot of YouTube tutorials. But with that being said, we wanted to kind of put a stake in episode 15, reintroduce ourselves, and then also kind of have an open call for feedback. We really want to know like what's working, what's not working, what you all are excited to hear from us, and hopefully get to do some Q&A sessions throughout the next round of episodes that we do. So
definitely. I actually posted this like really fun quiz on our stories for people to participate in. So if you follow us on Instagram, keep your eyes peeled. I'm going to do another one in the next week, probably. We got some feedback that the listeners want to know more about us. And so that really is another reason that we're doing this podcast. You know, we oftentimes, Kaylee and I know each other, so we just go through our stories and all of our stuff so quickly because it's just like, you know, another conversation we're having on the phone during lockdown. But it's not. It's, you know, to the people who are listening. And so we're just going to give you guys a little bit more background today.
Yeah, which, like we said, I'm so excited about because I could just talk about myself all all day. Let's treat it like an internet therapy session. So
I love this.
Awesome. In our very first episode that we did, we kind of went through what our relationship was like when we were first introduced to alcohol, how that kind of transpired, and then where we are now. So I think now that it's 2022 and a new year, kind of starting like where we are now and the reflection that we've done since making the decision to go sober and since Sober October, which is when we were first doing our episodes.
Crazy that it's been since October. So since we recorded our first two episodes, my feelings about my experience with alcohol has changed and I kind of have a new perspective about it. I'm kind of excited about it, Kaylee.
Tell me more about that. Like, has it been as a result of just looking back and kind of putting the pieces together, or like what was your mindset before and what is it now regarding your relationship to alcohol?
So in the first episode, I talked a lot about, you know, my mom being, you know, a hard ass and being strict, which I needed, frankly, and just, you know, wanting to always prove myself and wanting to fit in, which I think is not a unique to me condition. But I've changed so much in the last year and the last 6 months even that I'm kind of looking at all of that through a new lens. Maybe my problem with alcohol, of course, exists because alcohol is a poison and carcinogen and causes cancer. But further than that, like so much of what I was struggling with was relationship of with self.
Yeah. And yeah. And you can see that when you're sober a lot easier, I think, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And I was kind of hoping some people, for anyone listening, if you've experienced this, I would love to talk about this on an episode. Some people uncover new memories when they quit drinking.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I've experienced that.
Yeah. I know. I kind of feel like it's even happened in real time with you and I, like talking where you're like, oh, fuck, like I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
But I haven't had that as much. You know, I was kind of hoping that maybe some memories would come up about alcohol and substances prior to the story I shared in episode one about my friend's grandparents and sneaking out and, you know, all of that. But really, truly, I think I have a pretty good grasp on that stage of alcohol for myself. But what did come up was my experience with my dad.
Yeah.
When I lived with him in high school and he was going through his own battle with addiction, which is, you know, his own story. But I definitely have my perspective. I was 13 and, you know, there just wasn't a lot of supervision. I was being given alcohol and by parental figures and by people that should have been educating me, but they didn't have the tools. You know, they weren't educated themselves. Mm-hmm. And I oftentimes forget about that period of my life. So it's kind of given me this new perspective in that, like, I want to share with our daughter the experiences that I've had with alcohol and any substances. Like, it's kind of brought this conversation up a little bit more than it existed before, because I think education and spreading awareness is A,
important to healing ourselves, and then B, also the resistance against big alcohol and, you know, society's acceptance of blackout culture, if you will.
Yeah.
So trying to pass that education on is going to be a new cornerstone in our house. And I'm really, really excited about that. I have definitely had some new memories flood in, like around that period of time, still the same theme running with men. And so that's nothing new. But now I'm like, okay, what do I do with all this information? What do I do with all of this like healing that I'm doing and this growth and this like practicing responding instead of reacting? Like, what's the next step for me? And last weekend, I tried to practice some of what I've been learning a couple weekends ago, right? When I went to Bend.
Right. Yeah. So the listeners haven't got to really hear that was something that you mentioned in a previous podcast that you were going to do, and you were a little nervous, but it was going to be your first time kind of going outside of your comfort zone in terms of socializing.
Yeah. So in the previous episode, I mentioned I was going to Bend and I had a great time with some of my girlfriends, which is like Bend, for anyone that doesn't know that's listening, is outdoors and beer culture put together in like an upper middle class, like gentrified city in the most like beautiful part of the high desert in Oregon.
Yeah. Eastern Oregon.
Yeah. And I'm obsessed with it because I'm like all of those things, you know, especially the beer culture. That was something I really held tightly when I was drinking. So going, I knew it was going to be a challenge for me. All of the breweries had non-alcoholic specialty, like craft IPAs on draft. And
fuck yeah.
I was given them at no cost for being a DD.
That's fucking awesome.
It was really cool. And my friends were so fun. And like the daytime was great. We went to like candy shops and we got gelato. And you know what I mean? Like we just did our own thing. And it was so fun to play tourist. And we even went to a couple art galleries. Like it was legit. We ate by the river, you know? And
that's awesome.
Then that night we went home. We did some tarot reading. You know, we like totally did the girl thing, got so ready. I put a full face of makeup on, which I haven't done in forever. And we went out to like clubs, Kaylee.
The club. Oh my God. So what's Ben's club scene? Because I just cannot picture anything besides a ski resort and middle-aged people. So was it same old or what?
It was like people our age and like 5 years younger. So 25 to 34, let's say.
Okay.
There's no university there. So there's no like college scene.
Okay.
It's all like people who settled there and lived there or grew up there or people who are visiting the mountain.
Yeah. Ski weekend.
And so everyone listens to dubstep and electronic music.
Tight.
That's what the bar was. So like we go in, my friends, girlfriends are like ready to get turned. You know, they've only like their pregame was like those couple of beers during the day. And then we had like one drink out, but I had a Red Bull because I was like, oh, I'm DDing and these bitches look like they want to party.
And you need so much energy to socialize. And just, I remember when Katie and I went to Palm Springs, I was drinking like 2 energy drinks and 3 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah. And then we were like, had IBS because of our anxiety and we were wondering why.
Yeah.
So I kind of tailed along and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to dance sober. So I'm like on the dance floor, kind of shuffling my feet. The music was like, wah, 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 wah. It was like so much, so cerebral. And I was like stone cold sober, like no marijuana, nothing. And my friends started having fun and time was going by. And a couple people, this guy walks up to me and he's like, hey. I'm like, oh, hi.
Oh, no. Hi.
He's like, do you work here?
What?
And I was like, no, why? He's like, you just look like you're in charge.
Okay.
And I was like, it's probably because I'm sober. And he was like, oh, shit, you're sober? And I was like, yeah, I don't drink. And he was like, oh, I did a year and a half in AA. But obviously that didn't go well for me. And he's like laughing and he's hammered.
Oh, no. You're like, are you okay? Like, do you need me to call your sponsor? What the fuck?
Yeah. And then he's like, hey, and calls his other friend over. And they're like screaming at me.
Over dubstep music.
Yeah. They're like screaming at me into my mouth. Like,
Omicron anybody. No one's wearing masks. Not a single person was wearing masks in the whole entire, like none of the bars. No one behind the counter, no one on the dance floor. And it was just, that's a new environment for me because in Eugene, it's not like that. And yeah. I was like, whoa, man, you're talking really loud. You're close to me. And he's like, what? You afraid of getting COVID? And he like launched into this whole political thing with me. And I was like, hey, man, I'm sober. And he was like, oh, like, sorry. I'm like, leave me the fuck alone. So anyways, they wandered off. They fucked right off. And then another guy comes up to me and he was like quintessential bend boy, like snowboarder outfit, like longer hair, like, you know, talking just the whole, it's like the valley girl of the Pacific Northwest, you know?
Yeah.
Which no hate, no shame, because I in another life am that person. So
exactly.
Hi, it's me. I'm like kind of dancing. I'm obviously feel really uncomfortable.
You're trying your best.
I'm trying. I really did. And I was just kind of watching my friends and they were having fun and being super responsible. And that felt good, you know? But he says to me, hey, I'm like, hey. He's like, your energy is so powerful. And I was like, yeah, it's probably because I'm sober. And he was like, oh, and this is where it gets good. Oh, I was sober too for a year and 4 months. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I went to a Mormon wedding and no one was drinking and they were all dancing and having the time of their lives. And I was like, you know what? I don't need alcohol either. And I quit for a year and 4 months. And it was like the best time of my life, you know? And he was like, why are you sober? And I said, well, I'm just getting to know myself and just life feels so good this way, you know? And he was like,
yeah.
He was like, oh, I love that. Like, I could totally feel your energy. And it was great. And then he goes, but you know what you should really do?
Oh, please mansplain to me on the dance floor. I do not miss men at bars. I'm so sorry. I know, like, there are good guys out there. I'm currently dating one, but, like, fuck that.
He says, you should really just dance like no one's watching right now while you're sober with me.
Ew, don't live, laugh, love me right now, bro. Like, get the fuck out.
And he's like, I can just feel the tension in your body. And I'm like, wait, I thought I was giving off like dope energy a minute ago. Now I'm not, because I'm not doing what you want me to be doing in this moment, because I'm uncomfortable because you're drunk and yelling at me and mansplaining my sobriety to me.
It's so funny that he's like, I can tell by your body language that you are not interested. So anyway. No.
Yeah, dude. And it was just so funny. And the rest of the night, he would twirl by me. And like, whenever he would walk by me, he would like twirl my hand. And I was, you know, I was totally like playing along. He was fine. Yeah. But it was just
amicable.
Like, yeah. And he was funny. And I think he gets it. You know, he got it. Like, he gets it. The thing that we're talking about here on Dry Hard. And I think that he's truly experienced it. But when you start to numb again and you start to take away from that joy you were feeling at one point, and, you know,
yeah,
it was kind of cool because, like, I was thinking, like, and this is something that I struggle with, but I was like, I wonder if he woke up today and thought like, oh, that chick was cool. Like, maybe I should try not drinking again.
That would be,
you know,
that would be ideal. And it does, yeah, seem like he respected your journey and what you were doing. But
he's a dumbass.
I just have such little patience for, it's like when you do a drug and then you see other people who are on that drug, and you can, because you've been on that drug, you can be like, that person's definitely on Molly, or that person's coked out, you know? Whereas before, you may not have. I don't really know where I'm going with this. Is, let me fucking get to the point.
Okay, here we go.
In sobriety, I can smell alcohol on people more clearly.
Yes.
I can tell when people are inebriated and their sentences aren't necessarily making sense, or their eyes are semi-closed. And so I just have such little patience for it, because I get those signals and I think, oh, okay, you're drunk. Like, you either will not remember this, or you don't really know what you're saying. Like, you're not really paying attention to speaking or having a conversation. So I just I have a low tolerance for talking or engaging with drunk people. And it sucks. I don't want to be judgy. And I, you know, we talked about having a bunch of friends who still drink, but especially stranger at where you're already uncomfortable and trying to dance sober. No, 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 baby angel.
Yeah, like I'm done with you. Yeah, yes. And I was going to tell you, solidarity. I totally hear where you're going with like the once you've done a drug, then you can like see that other people are using the drug or when they are. Like, I get that. I hear you. So the night kept going and it was like 1:30 and I was there with a couple of gals, one who was totally new to my life, not someone I've ever met. I have never met someone and in a short amount of time decided I admire them. That's not something that's easy for me to do. Like, I'm pretty wise. And so I see myself as equal as people often, but I don't meet a lot of people where I'm like, I want to be more like them.
Yeah.
And I met this girl and this woman and I feel like that about her. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's an expander for me. Like, I really respect who she is and I'm really excited about that. So that felt really good. But she was there and her and I and two of our other friends, it was a pretty small group. There was four of us for the weekend. But she comes and gets me and she's like, hey, there's this girl back there in the back of the bar. Will you walk by her with me? And I was like, yeah. And I walked back and there's this girl who... And trigger warning, sexual assault, alcohol use. Like, I don't even think we have to say that anymore on the pod because we talk about it so often, so frequently, unfortunately. Yeah, so it says explicit, you know, on the description.
Content. Explicit content, yeah. Example coming up.
So there's this girl on the couch, and I'm just like, listen, no more couches and bars, people.
There's no point, and how fucking gross.
Yeah.
The crumbs, the steak, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. And in this case, you know, bodily fluids. So she's laying there, like, limp, and there's this dude, like, touching her.
No. Fuck that. I hate that.
Yeah. And the gal that I'm with, who had probably only had, like, three drinks all day, which was just so cool to spend time with someone who like has a healthy relationship with alcohol, you know, and she may not think that, but that was my perception of her relationship with alcohol, which is cool. She, you know, goes up to the girl and she's like, and I'm like, no, something's wrong. She's like, okay, you know, just wanted to confirm. She goes up to the girl and she's like, do you know him? And the girl's like, head is limp. And she like shakes it. No.
Fuck.
And then she's like, do you need help? And the girl just like shook her head, groaned, like totally lifeless. We told the bartender within 5 minutes, DJ came on, turned off the music, and the police and the ambulance were coming into the bar.
Good.
Yes.
So did the person who was...
Took off.
Yeah. Ran
away.
I'm sure.
Ran away.
Yeah.
Fucker. And at that moment, I was just like, thank God there are people here at the bar. Not even me, but, you know, the two friends I was with that were aware enough to see that this something was not okay. Like, had they had a couple more drinks during the day or had they been in a different headspace, they very well would have just looked right over it like everyone else did at the bar. And then thankful that the bar is so scared of getting in trouble, you know, and took the situation seriously.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut it the fuck down.
Because they're like, oh, we overserved her. Or, oh, something happened to her in our bar. And, like, of course, it's all about money and liability. But, I mean, to the bartenders, it's also probably because it's, like, sad. They see it all the time. Anyways, so that was traumatizing. By the time the ambulance got there, she was on the floor throwing up. And it's just, like, the one time I go out to the bar in a year and a half. Because I really wasn't going to bars before I quit drinking for a long time. But the first time I've gone out, like...
No, you weren't out. This is your, like, Katie's first night out and having to experience that. That's a lot.
Yeah, and the first time I'm out, and it happens. Statistically, that's not good, people.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign. I go out one time in probably 14 months, and... someone is being assaulted and has been overserved, or someone else was like, oh, she had to have been drugged. And I was trying to explain, like, no, she didn't have to have been drugged. Like, alcohol has that effect on people when they consume too much of it.
Right. Yes. It's,
or if they mix it with other things, or you know what I mean? But like, the likelihood of her being sick or drugged are because she was under the influence, because fucking people serve irresponsibly.
Yeah.
which is a whole nother topic that we can get into in a different episode. Put that in our content calendar. Like, I think that that's a good topic to cover, is just like binge drinking in general.
Yeah.
And what facilitates that.
Well, and I think what's so scary about that is like that could have 100% have been me.
Same.
You know, and I haven't been in scenarios that scary, but definitely even just under the influence of alcohol, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and that was my point, was that she could have just been under the influence of alcohol. There's no...
Right.
It's crazy to have to say, oh, we have to jump to another conclusion because alcohol doesn't do that. It's like, no, people, wake up. Alcohol does that.
Yeah. And also, like, just to clarify, absolutely no fucking victim blaming.
Zero.
Like, you should be able to go to a place and be safe.
Yeah.
But it's just bars in terms of the environment that they are in. And because of the inhibitions being lower and the reaction time and slurred speech and all of that shit, like, it makes for an environment where bad things happen often, unfortunately.
Yeah. And not just that, but in a society that is just normalized the shit out of that type of drinking, like,
right,
that girl was not even given the tools to handle a situation like that ever. You know, it's a fucking...
Yes. I was just thinking about the types of drinks that we used to get and like the drop shots,
oh,
and
God,
how fucking strong going to certain bars were, and just not having even that consistency where I, you know, could have three drinks at one bar and be fine. And then I could have three drinks at another bar and be puking by the end of the night. So I had a hard time, even though I was gonna fucking binge no matter what, I had a really hard time gauging that sort of shit. So...
Totally, totally. So that was kind of a long stint, but I think it's important to talk about because it really like is sealing up my year of sobriety. Is like just another example of what I don't want to be a part of. However, I'll tell you what, my ass walked out of that bar, got in my own car in front of cops, and drove away without having to be concerned at all.
Yeah.
That I was putting someone else in danger or that I was going to be pulled over or anything. And it was so relieving after that like traumatic experience.
Yeah. To be like, I am safe. I'm going to get the people that I'm with home safe.
Yeah.
We were able to notify the right people. This woman's going to get to go home tonight to, you know.
Right. It just kind of like pointed me in the right direction. Like, you know, the compass is due north or whatever the fuck they say. Like, I'm on the right track with where we're going with all of this. And so, yeah, so now I'm just at a point where I'm like, okay, what's the next step?
Yeah. So do you mean in terms of how you interact with those friends, or next step in terms of kind of seeming to always be put in certain situations and wondering what that means for you as an expander?
Oh my gosh. All of that, which I can't even wrap my head around, but for anyone listening, I witness tragedy constantly. If you're like this, if anyone is listening,
yeah,
and at all can relate to this, I've seen 7 car accidents since 2019, and I aided in turning in people that were in the middle of a custody kidnapping situation by accident, stumbling across them at the park. I had this experience in Bend. My friend Ashley was just telling me that we had an experience like that I don't remember, but she was like, Katie, it's crazy because like you'll be out drinking and you would be like the crazy fun party girl. And then all of a sudden you would be able to, your radar would go off and you would know something was wrong and you would call away from what we were doing and you would literally be a superwoman at the bar and save someone. And I'm like, I don't know why this is happening to me, but if anyone out there can relate, like hit me up. Now that I'm sober, I'm like noticing it so much more and I'm really trying to like lean into it, figure out why and what that means. So
yeah,
if you're into that woo-woo shit.
I love that. No, just like recognizing that and stepping into your purpose and being like, okay, like I can help people here. Like I can continue to like flex this muscle.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's cliche, but like, I'm just really tired of, I don't even know if you could say that I am, but I sometimes feel like I play small because I'm worried about what people think and I'm just ready to not do that shit anymore. So
yeah,
it's fucking over once I get my shit together.
I think a lot of us, especially those who were socialized as women, can relate to that.
Yeah.
For sure. What about you, though? Where are you at? That was a tangent. But that was some of the feedback we got, that like people want more of our stories and more in-depth details. So here we are.
No, I love that. And I think it's especially cool to circle back because you did talk about Bend. You did kind of flag that. And so it's interesting to hear how that went. And I'm sorry that there were some things that just, I don't know, were not great, but seemed to at least solidify or give you things to reflect on. Yes, so
totally.
Cool. So I'm both like so fucking good and better than I've been ever, I feel like. But at the same time, I'm just kind of really going through it with being really emotional, having a lot of fucking feelings. I am in a long-term, amazing, happy relationship, but I recently found out that my ex is a dad, and that, I'm not gonna lie, kind of fucked me up. Just there's been time periods throughout since, you know, we were together and broke up that I would like hear his name, or for some reason he would pop in my mind and I would just get this kind of like sinking pit in my stomach feeling of like, ugh. I think just because of how long we were together and how much of a number he kind of did on me. And not to say that I was perfect in that relationship at all. I fucking wasn't, but
no one is.
Yeah, just really interesting to kind of see the patterns play out and hear about where he is now was kind of a little bit of a mind fuck, and just made me time travel back to that time and remembering all of the shame I felt and all of the times people, either friends or even other guys, would ask me why I was staying in this relationship that was clearly really kind of fucking with my head and making me feel like I was crazy and I was really depressed all the time. And I'm still really working on regaining some of the stuff that I felt like I lost in that relationship. Right. And so it's been reflective and all good, like no big deal. And I really don't want someone to continuously have like a dark cloud over me for that long. But I really need to forgive myself for staying in that relationship as long as I did. And I really need to let that go and get over it. And so that's going to be something that I am working on.
I hear that. I have one of those lingering in the background too.
Yeah, just that icky feeling of those flashbacks to that time and being like, oh God. Like, I remember freaking out on a friend of a friend because he was spending time with her, and I still really struggle with my partner having female relationships because I was done dirty in the past. I was, you know, cheated on with someone who was quote unquote just a friend, you know?
Totally. 100%. I hear you.
Yeah. What else has been going on?
So where you're at right now in your sobriety, Kaylee, have you had any new realizations about like your relationship with alcohol or what we talked about in the first episode?
I do feel like I have noticed that when I've gotten cravings for drinking, it's been when I am really frustrated or angry or upset and just kind of get into this phase where I want to watch the world burn, which is interesting because I never really pictured myself as someone who gets angry, but that's definitely my way to deal with that. And so I've just been kind of noticing those cravings and when they come up, and I don't actually have alcohol cravings very often anymore, which is great. But when I do, it's because I am pissed off and it's, I don't know. Definitely, I think, especially just talking through some past episodes, a form of self-harm or punishing myself when I'm being really hard on myself or when things aren't going my way. So,
yeah. Oh, I feel that. I'm like at that point where I'm like, all right, Katie, are you getting back on your bullshit, or what are we doing here? What's going on?
Yeah, for sure. And I think something that I have a huge issue with, and what I used to do with alcohol, is I used to beat myself up for not quitting, even though I knew it was something that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And so now that I've quit alcohol and I can't just let myself be proud of that, I have to beat myself up for fitness stuff, nutrition stuff, everything, self-confidence else, stuff, all the things that I feel like I'm not doing good enough at, I am picking apart. So it's still exhausting. It's still an uphill battle, but I'm working on it. So
that's all we can do, you know?
Oh, yeah. It really is exhausting to not allow myself a moment of happiness. Like, I started this new job and it's fucking amazing. And I literally feel like the big one, the earthquake, is going to happen and there's going to be an apocalypse or something. Like, I cannot allow myself to believe that things can be this good. Like, the ball has to drop at some point. Mm. Something bad has to happen.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, so I'm really paranoid.
Yeah, dude. Well, when you've lived your life from a place of survival,
mm-hmm.
especially when you don't know how to prioritize your mental health and you're using substances, it can feel like, okay, but what's going to go wrong?
Yeah.
This can't be real. I don't deserve this, right? Like, that's more of a self-worth piece probably than anything else.
Oh, 100% it is. And some weird sort of fucking guilt for, you know, doing better than other people of that shit.
I feel that so heavy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real one.
So I just constantly feel like something is gonna happen to me, but it's okay. I just need to kind of take it day by day and recognize that even preparing for those hypothetical doomsday scenarios, it's just not gonna make me feel any better. No. Like, there's no possible way. If an earthquake fucking happened right now, like, what am I gonna do?
Nothing.
So I really need to kind of just let that go. And if something bad's gonna happen, I have to do the best with the tools that I have in that moment. I can't be watching YouTube videos on how to survive the end times. It's right. Not good for me. So I need to quit that shit.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, so kind of how I'm doing right now is it depends on the day, but I am able to identify those things that I'm feeling, thankfully, without that like mask of alcohol on top of everything and, you know, forgetting what I'm even experiencing because I'm browning out. So I am identifying a lot of things that I need to work on. Right. So that being said, Katie, what do you feel like you want to work on, especially taking back that experience that you had in Bend? Do you want to set some new or different boundaries, or what's kind of on the horizon for you?
I'm still trying to figure all of it out. As far as what happened in Bend, I just know that it's in my best interest not to put myself in environments that make me feel like shit. And that's like a club, right? Like, I have no problem going out to a nice place where they serve, you know, cocktails and I get my own fancy drink and we have a good time and socialize, whatever. That doesn't bother me, but no more bars for me. But otherwise, I'm still really struggling with balance.
You do a lot.
I do a lot. And a lot of what I do is on social media.
Yeah, which is a whole, I almost said bag of worms, a whole can of worms.
It's a whole bag of worms, for sure.
It's a whole fucking bag of worms, and dude.
So with that being said, I am one to, you know, say, like, it's not social media that's the problem. It's the way you're interacting with it. Like, I do believe that to a certain extent.
Right.
But I'm fucking burnt out right now. I'm managing four pages and having to generate content on my own and like having to, right? Like, that is such a narrative that I get stuck in because I feel like if I want to keep up with everyone else that I need to be doing that for the podcast and for Reframe and 1,000 Hours and my own, you know, personal, like sharing my sober journey on Instagram. And I don't have to do any of it.
I'm wondering, it seems like a safety measure.
Yes, it's my control, Kaylee. It's totally a sense of control for me.
Well, and if you continue to hustle and work really hard and do all the things, then I don't know, you can say at least you tried, or you can feel like you're catching up, or it just seems like a way to prevent yourself from feeling like you're falling behind. Or maybe I'm totally fucking wrong here. I don't really know the answer.
Well, but I think that there's a couple of things. I think it is something I enjoy doing, but like,
of course. Yeah. And you're good at it.
in smaller doses. Like right now I'm not being as disciplined with my time as I should be. So I'm getting burnt out because I'm like, oh, I don't have anything planned. I have to surf for 2 hours to find inspiration. And at this point I'm just mindlessly scrolling. It's just like this whole cycle. But then there's other things I should be doing, right? Like I am literally halfway done with a year-long nutrition program that I just have not finished.
I haven't even fucking started mine, and I bought it like 6 months ago. So I feel you, and I feel you on there's always something you should be doing.
Right.
But I wonder if dedicated time, like go to the coffee shop and do it for 2 hours and then be like, I'm done. I got to go home. I got to make dinner.
Well, mine's like an actual like certification, like to be able to like being licensed in nutrition.
Yes. I totally forgot that you were doing that on top of all the other stuff you've been doing.
But no, but the thing is, it's like, I'm like, wait, do I even want to do that anymore? I don't want to tell people what to put in their bodies and what not to. Like, I don't know. I'm just like in this, like,
you're trying all the things out and trying to figure out what feels good. And that's fucking cool. Good on ya.
Oh, well, totally. Like, I'm getting to that. Like, I feel so good about those things. But at the same time, I'm noticing behaviors that I'm implementing that I was also implementing when I was drinking to keep me from achieving the things that I say I'm going to do. And, you know, even like with my bachelor's degree, Kaylee, I'm like 28 credits away from having a bachelor's degree.
That's so close.
And I haven't been to school in so long. I'm going to have, like, I don't know. I'm just at this weird, what we call like a magic dark, you know, like.
Ooh, explain that. Yeah.
So magic dark is when you're like doing the work, showing up for yourself, you're doing your self-care, specifically with To Be Magnetic, like you are journaling, you're meditating, and you are going to the gym and you're getting your shit done. But nothing's happening and you don't really know where you are and you're kind of lost. Well,
I'm that right now.
Yeah, well, there's good things on the other side of that. It's just, this is a test, right? Like, will you stick with it even though you're not reaping the benefits directly right now at this given moment? And so I'm really just trying to stay in that place so I don't try to rush the process of what's next for me. But yeah, but like you said, right? Quitting alcohol is like enough. Like, I can just not be drinking alcohol and I can be doing dry hard pod and just recording and talking about things that, you know, light a fire underneath us without being like, this social media needs to be flawless. The collective needs me for this. I need to put this fire out. 1,000 hours dry should be number one on my list every Saturday. Oh, I have reframe monitoring to do. It's just like the list could go on if I let it.
Yeah. And it helps you feel needed.
Yes, girl.
Like, I get that with my job too. I'm useless right now because I'm fucking training and I almost miss being in the thick of it, even though I don't. I really don't. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
Right. And you're identifying that too. Like, it's not healthy. But yeah, where's the balance? How do we fucking figure this out? I have no idea. So help.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And it's funny that you say that because Lauren. Low without Pino.
Love you.
She said she can totally relate to, you know, that like feeling like if you're not under the, like down to the wire, like in emergency mode to complete a task that she just won't do it. And she was like, is that a millennial thing? But then Lauren from New Zealand in our dry January, dry hard group was like, no, I'm a zillennial.
Like Gen Z and millennial put together.
And she's like, I feel this deep too. But I was raised by Gen Z. No.
Yeah. Wait, is Gen Z or Gen X the young ones? And which ones are our parents?
I was raised by Gen X. And that's
Gen X.
Yeah. Oh, wait, how old's your dad?
My dad is like in his early 50s, 54, maybe.
Same with my mom. Okay. So that's my story. And she is Gen X. She's a Xennial. So she's X-E-N-N-I-A-L.
Oh.
So she's like okay. In between us and our parents' age. And she feels that strongly as well. And so that's really interesting. I am really excited. I see like an SRT therapist, like spiritual release therapy.
That's dope. I want to try any form of therapy.
Yeah, I know. Same. Like, will this magic make me feel better? Cool. Let's do it. And she actually gave me a self-talk and reparenting mantra that I'm saying every day for the next 30 days. I am just ready to relinquish the narrative I've held on to for so long that I'm seeking my parents' approval.
Like, that's exciting.
I'm done. I'm not. And it's not that I am seeking their approval. Or no, I take that back. It's not that they are not giving me their approval. Like, my parents, like, they support me. They don't not support me. But I have this narrative that I need to impress them or get approval from them or need their signing off. And I'm just so ready to be done with that feeling.
Yeah.
And so I am working on that. That's my next step. That's my next thing. So I'm putting that in front of my bachelor's degree, the nutrition program, and all the other shit that I need to do, because that's going to answer a lot of questions for me.
And honestly, I don't know. Once you unlock some of that shit and figure that out, then you can really start playing at your highest level. Yeah. And those other things will come so much easier because you'll either have the energy for them or you'll decide, like, why the fuck do I need a bachelor's degree? I'm already killing it in social media and this is actually going to detract me from the things that are feeling good, or, you know.
And also something that we forget to talk about, like, I work a 40-hour a week job where I run a garbage and recycling company.
Yeah.
Like, that is what pays my bills. I don't even talk about that. You know what I mean? Like, all of these other things are actually just hobbies on the side. None of them are truly paying me like a livable wage.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a lot of work for free. I want to continue to do that, especially with the sober community. That's my service. You know, I take a lot of energy from the sober community and I'm ready to give it back.
I think that's really awesome. I don't do that. I edit the podcast and Katie fucking hustles and does just all this stuff.
Being here and having these conversations and willing to be vulnerable and, you know, just showing up for people that can really use the advice and wisdom, or just listen to our dumbass stories and just be like, not doing that, you know, whatever it is.
That being said, too, our fucking dry January group asked if they can keep the group and that it won't dissolve after January, which just made my heart so fucking happy.
Same.
So it's not too late if you want to join an amazing group of people. Like, please hit us up and get in there because it's so cute. Anyway, yeah.
I think that that's something too that we have in the works. Like, I think we're going to put together a Discord channel to kind of like streamline it off Instagram. And
I love that.
And do that. That's, I think, is something that we'll be working on mid-February. So we'll make an announcement about that as well.
That way too, if folks do want to take a break from social media and if they find themselves, you know, scrolling a lot, they don't have to go to that same platform. Discord is kind of, you know, separate and just for chat, and you can set your notifications differently. So I think that's also good, just circling back to social media. And I know some folks, like one of our friends in that chat popped in and was like, sorry, I haven't been super active. And it's so funny because I find all of us doing that, and you don't have to be, you don't have to message every day, but I really struggle with that needing to respond immediately to text messages, to Instagram pings, to Discord, to Slack, to email, because I mean, I've been conditioned that way because of my job, the career that I'm in. And also, yeah, I don't fucking know. So anyway, tangent over. Discord, we love it. We're here for it.
So now that we've like officially ranted for an hour, what are you looking forward to, Kaylee? Like, we are closing season one of the pod and we're going into season two. So what does that look like for you?
The podcast just in general has made me so fucking happy. The people that I've gotten to meet, and just every time I hear Ashley quoted something I said in the podcast when we were having a phone call the other day, and I was like, oh my God, you fucking listen. Like, I keep forgetting. And
she does. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just been so amazing. So I'm really excited to continue to connect with people using this platform and continue to use it as right? Like my own version of therapy and working stuff out in real time. So that's been great. And then I feel like I'm finally starting to grasp or believe that I am a cool person, that I like being around myself. I like my company, and my life is, it's so easy, right, to beat yourself up about the things that I'm still not doing. I'm not my nutrition, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not good at these things, but I live, my dream when I graduated college was to live in Portland, work at advertising, have a dog, have like a good relationship with someone who I feel like is my best friend. And I have all of those things. Like, yeah, I don't own a home and I don't, you know, have these other pillars that, you know, would be cool. But I really like my life. I really like my little family, and I'm just kind of enjoying it each day. And so I think that's really fucking cool. And I'm excited to keep doing the things that make me feel good.
Yes, I love that.
Doing it up.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, new chapter. I feel like there's a lot of change coming. I just got a new job. My partner is doing some really exciting stuff with his creative work. And I'm really excited for spring. And I just feel like the seeds of some exciting change are afoot, but I don't really know what that is. So I'm just trying to be open to things and new opportunities.
You're in your magic dark.
I'm in my magic dark. Yes, 100.
Yeah. So I kind of already launched into it, but I'm just ready to feel free of my own bullshit expectations that I have. You know, I'm always just, I'm not even like hard on myself, like inner talk. Like that's not something that I really identify with, but like outwardly I am. And so, yeah, I'm just going to keep, you know, figuring all of that out. I'm just going to, and also continue to just like really acknowledge when the universe is working with me because I'm putting in the work and like acknowledging that I am doing it. And then with that being said, hoping in this like reparenting mantra and all this other work that I've been doing, I'm going to be able to really narrow down and simplify the things that I say yes to and decide to pursue. I love all of the things. And sometimes it feels like a yes, and then later it feels like a no. And as a reflector in the human design, if anyone out there is also into the human design, please tell us, DM me, let's be friends. Everything feels exciting in that moment. I'm really someone that needs to think about things for a while before I make a yes or no answer in order to avoid feeling like the, you know, that flake narrative I've talked about before that I feel like I carry with me a lot. So if you ever ask me to do something or suggest something and I just say, yes, let's do it, remind me and be like, Katie, you know, maybe you should take 2 days to think about that and then get back to me, because that's really what I need to be doing. Because when I don't, I now have like 15 commitments in one day, and it all excites me, and I want to do it all, but I just can't. It's not possible for someone. And so I don't always show up as my, you know, full self. And really excited to lean into that.
And I think it's okay to say, I know that I have some other stuff going on and I don't really know how I'm going to be able to make it all work, or I'm not sure if I have the capacity for that at that time. Can I kind of see how the week shakes out and get back to you? Like, totally.
Well, and for me, it's not a yes because I'm afraid to say no. For me, it's a yes because I truly want to do it in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I don't really, that pause doesn't always work for me. You know, I can't pause. I need to say that excites me. I'm going to let you know, but
yeah. Or even just flag, like mark me as a yes for right now, but there's a chance that I might wake up that day and feel overwhelmed and I might text you last minute and let you know that I can't do it. And even just that flag is like, okay, cool. Cause then you release all the anxiety or buildup or guilt or feeling like you have to show up. You could literally just send that text and be like, hey, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. And I'd be like, oh yeah, she mentioned that she might not be able to. Cool. Right on. No worries.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just, ugh, that like gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about. I'm such a commitment person. It's so hard. It's so fucked up. I'm going to meditate on that because I feel so many things about that.
That's okay. I have the heebie-jeebies about like telling people that I want things or that I need things or having any sort of fucking conversation. Or like feeling like I let people down.
Or everything.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So Katie, what are some tools and like resources that you're going to use in order to continue to work on this stuff? Like, what do you have in your toolkit that you're going to be pulling out in February?
Well, something that I'm wrapping up right now that I think kind of got me on this spiral with the internet and with my phone and with social media is I just finished listening to Deep Work by Cal Newport. It was actually recommended on the expanded podcast that To Be Magnetic does by Lacey Phillips. Essentially, it's a massive book, and it's really just the theme around being able to focus without distraction and how that's been taken away from us because we can pick up our devices once every 5 minutes, and it actually removes us from deep and meaningful work.
I literally looked at my phone while I was listening to you, and that's not fucking cool.
I did it too, multiple times.
Yeah,
so it's really about developing a deep work practice without distractions. So the book gives you tangible advice and then just some really uplifting and inspirational stories and information and the different methods. And there's this idea that really got me in the beginning of the book where he was saying, like, there's only three people that succeed in today's workforce. There are the people like me who learn really quickly and can keep up because we are always in this like mode of pleasing and overperforming.
Yeah, we're caffeinated, we're hustling, we're like heads down in it. Yeah.
There are people who are entrepreneurs and create their own systems, typically that do not require people, right? So it's like web developers, you know, like tech minded.
Yeah.
And then there are people who can still do the deep work. There's not really room to make money for anyone else in the workforce anymore. There's like three people and everyone else isn't succeeding. And the reason that the rest of us are having to go to these extremes in order to be successful is because the internet, our cell phones, all of this immediate and instant gratification has taken away the ability to work without interruption, without thinking fully, without processing, without needing that dopamine hit. And I'm like, damn, I'm listening to the book, I'm at work, and I'm scrolling on my phone.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah, and I'm sure there's mixed opinions about all of this, but like, I just love the idea of like locking myself in the room and just writing for four hours. And 4 hours isn't even considered a long enough time to get in the deep work. Like, this is a practice. Like, this is something that people will need to do for a long time. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Lacey Phillips, who was talking about the book, she has like this cottage that she goes to. And while she was pregnant with her first child, she went to the cottage and she was there alone for like 2 months.
Wow.
To just work. And like, work can mean so many things, but like, deep work is without distraction, without a television, without a cell phone, without the internet, where you are just with your thoughts, you are writing, you are reading so much on a paper book. And anyways, so I picked that fucker up and now I'm down this whole spiral of like, what is life? But that's okay, because I'm just adding some of these practices to my toolkit, and I will elaborate on that more as it comes up, as I'm learning and as I'm implementing. So yeah. What about you, Kay?
Well, I need to get my ass back in therapy.
Oh, dude.
I had a therapist that I absolutely loved. I saw her for about 5 years, got another therapist, and there were some things that just weren't really working out. And so now I'm on the hunt for another therapist, and I need to just put my head down and reach out. I feel like I'm putting myself in a box by only looking for female identifying therapists, or previously I had just done CBT. I've been doing CBT therapy for like 6 or 7 years now, and I'm ready to try something different. So I'm looking into DBT and some others, and psychologytoday.com is where I've always gone to find those. You can search by insurance type. I, you know, just got a new job, so I got to figure out who is on Aetna, but you can search by therapy type. You can search by specific concerns. It's hard for me because I want to check all the boxes, like, how about ED and anxiety and depression and self-esteem and, you know,
totally. But
that's a really good resource. So I'm going to get back in therapy. I'm going to get my ass back doing the work. I have signed up for To Be Magnetic to get started on some meditation shit. And I just have still not done it. I have not even tried to figure out where that fits into my routine and into my life. So that's next. Also, Headspace is something that I have access to now as part of the benefits of my new job. So looking into that. Yeah. And Therapy Jeff on TikTok, not to, you know, encourage more social media use, but intentional social media. Therapy Jeff on mm-hmm. TikTok is awesome. And he's, a friend of a friend that I found out about. So
cool.
It's great.
I'm going to go follow them right when I get off here. That's rad. So next week, friends, we will be recording our first episode with a guest, and he is a very special one. Our first guest, I think I've talked about on the pod.
Yeah, probably.
He was like one of those people that I was like, oh, they probably sit in their house and make fun of me for being like sharing my sober story on social media. Turns out he fucking is sober now, and that's cool.
Yeah, not only was he not hating on you, he is actually like an OG supporter of the pod and has been just really awesome. And we're really excited to have him on and to just continue to add additional perspectives to folks who are going dry.
Yeah. And we've known this person for a decade at least. And so that's kind of fun. So he's a great character. He is one of the funniest fucking people I know. I can't wait for everyone to meet him. So yes, I think that will do it for this fucking night.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed us talking about ourselves for an hour plus. We love you. We're so glad you're here for it.
So if you or someone you know has expressed they're ready to change their relationship with alcohol, download Reframe app. You can use it as a cutback, to quit, or just to get to know more about the effects of alcohol on your body, mind, and spirit. Try the 7-day free trial. You can also use code Katie for 15% off your first in-app purchase. Remember that it's 100% anonymous when you use my code. I do not know who is using it and when.
Awesome. And then speaking of folks who are supporting the pod and who also have some great resources for people who are quitting alcohol, or taking a break from alcohol. If you are interested in some NA delish frickin' mocktails, we have partnered with High Street Tonics. They have a kit. If you go to our link tree for specifically the sober curious, they have a bunch of really amazing bitters. And you can use our code DryHardPod for 10% off. So take a look at that if you are looking to still drink fun stuff at home.
Yay, yay.
Yay, yay, yay.
Oh, I like that.
I really do want auto-tune. I want our whole episodes to be auto-tune.
We need to get that information on how to do that. Call T-Pain.
Good night. Goodbye.